My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Thus far, our lesson from Proverbs. Please turn to the book of Ephesians. In the New Testament, for our New Testament lesson, Apostle Paul writing, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as befits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. God our Father, how we thank You that You have given us a Word, that You have given us the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your only Son, and You have preserved for us a written Word that we might know the truth about Him, that we might know the truth that alone will set us free. Guide us as we look to Your Word this morning. keep our attention fixed on you. Open our ears that we would hear Christ speaking to us. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our world seems to be careening utterly out of control. Violence, turmoil, confusion are on the rise. People want what they want whenever and whatever they want, but the problem is they don't know what they want. One day they want one thing, the next day they want something completely else. Public sentiment, for example, has been moving very strongly, very powerfully in favor of so-called same-sex marriage. But interestingly enough, the most recent poll that has been taken shows that public sentiment is now beginning to shift a little bit in the reverse direction. What do people want? They don't know what they want. The rules are changing. People don't know what the rules are anymore. People get in trouble because they don't follow the rules, but they're not following the wrong rules. People are confused. Our world is in turmoil. How are we to understand what's going on in the world? How are we as Christians to live in a world in such turmoil? Well, the book of Proverbs points us to the wisdom of God as the way for God's people to live in this world. And last time we explored the way of wisdom in this wayward world. We learned that wisdom not only comes from God, but that wisdom is found in God's Son, in the person of Jesus, that He is, as it were, the incarnation of wisdom, that all wisdom is bound up in Him, and only in Christ can we fully make sense of this world that is careening out of control. Only as we look to Jesus can we understand who we are, and how we got in this position, and who God is, and what God has for us to get out of this confusion in which we live. We saw that wisdom was not only informational, but also relational and transformational. Now today, as we continue with our study of God's wisdom for a wayward world, we encounter the why of God's wisdom. Why do we need God's wisdom? Chapter 2 of Proverbs is basically one long sentence pointing us to the why. It is an appeal to you and to me to follow God's way of wisdom, to not only follow it, but to intentionally follow it, to aggressively pursue it in the midst of this world where nothing apparently seems certain anymore. Why should we give ourselves to following God's wisdom? Well, this is what the Bible tells us here in Proverbs chapter 2. Wisdom exists to be found for all who seek it. Wisdom does exist for all those who will seek it. Notice how Solomon begins. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It is there. It is there to be found if you will seek it. The world today conceives of wisdom and truth as something internal, something self-defining. Truth and wisdom is whatever we want it to be. At least that's what we're told. We can define ourselves. We can define our world.
Except that we can't. We can't. All it takes is Cecil the Lion. Why couldn't this dentist define his world as the opportunity to get the kill of a lifetime? Why does he have to hide in fear? Because the lion was lured out of a safe place so that he could shoot it with an arrow. And then as it wandered further afield, it could be found and shot and skinned and destroyed. The world is outraged. But why? If we define truth and wisdom, reality inside, if wisdom is whatever I say it is, then who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell him that his choice of activity was somehow wrong? But you see, people can't live with wisdom being something we self-define. People's sensitivities were struck. You see, wisdom is out there. There is a reality. There is a truth that is outside of ourselves that on occasion will rise to the surface when something so thoughtless and cruel takes place. Even people who favor abortion have been sickened by the videos that have suddenly appeared. And even some of those same people are sickened by the defense that's being given. Well, it's perfectly legal what they were doing. Because the thought of picking with your finger through body parts is repulsive, because there is a reality that that baby was created in the image of God. And that's not something that we define inside ourselves. That is a truth outside of ourselves. And so God tells you, God pleads with you, search for wisdom. Notice the different words that are used. There's an urgency here about this. You need to receive my words. You need to treasure up my commands. You need to make your ear attentive. You need to incline your heart. There is an increasing intensity of desire, of seeking. Yes, call out for insight. It's the same word that was used in chapter 1 of wisdom, crying out in the streets. Cry out for it. Yell and scream until you find it. Raise your voice for understanding. Let people know, let God know that you want to know the truth. Seek for it like silver. Search for it as for hidden treasures. And then you will find it. That's what Solomon is saying. The wisdom is there to be found. If you will seek for it, if you will search it, it is not something within, depending on whether you're having a good day or bad day, whether you feel this way or that way at any particular moment. No, there is truth, there is wisdom to be found for those who seek it. Jesus speaks in the same vein. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. It's like a pearl of great price, and once you find it, you go and sell everything you have in order to buy it. It's worth everything. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is pleased to give to those who ask. Our problem is we don't always ask. But the wisdom is there. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how to handle every sociological and social and cultural and medical problem that might come upon us in this world.
But we are told that there is wisdom to know how to live and how to make decisions in this world. So while we might not have the precise answer, there is wisdom that will guide us in making a response, in making an answer, in knowing how to live in the face of all the confusion and the constant changes up and down and back and forth. There is a rock on which we might stand, and Christ is that rock. Wisdom exists to be found for those who seek it. We must believe that. Now, furthermore, we are told here that wisdom engages you with God, who is its source. In verse 5 and 6, we read, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." God is the source of wisdom. God made all things. And so if you want to understand this world, we need to go to God and ask. Wisdom engages you with God. If you look for wisdom, you find God. Notice he says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Look for wisdom, it's going to lead you to God. But it also says if you look for God, it leads you to wisdom. For verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Wisdom is relational. We cannot understand who we are as those made in the image of God if we don't understand our relationship to the God in whose image we have made and why God made us in His image and what is our purpose in this world. It is as we seek to know the Lord that we find the Lord. As we find the Lord, we come to understand ourselves because we are meant to be a mirror of the Lord to the world. But how can we image God? How can we be who we were meant to be if we don't know the one to whom we are imaging? Seek wisdom, you will find God. Seek God, you will find wisdom. But wisdom is all tied up with God. You see, you cannot separate out wisdom from God as though it were something entirely different. Leave God out of the equation. You can't do that. Not if you want to know how to live in this world. But furthermore, not only does wisdom engage you with God, but wisdom transforms your life when you embrace it. Wisdom is not just an intellectual game for geniuses. Wisdom is about life. It's about who we are, how we've been individually created and made. Notice what it says in verse 7. "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Wisdom is out there. There is an objective wisdom. But wisdom is meant to get in here. It comes into your heart. It changes your soul. It gives you joy in life. Wisdom is real, but wisdom is not just a mind game. Wisdom changes your life. It engages you with God, and in engaging you with God, it transforms you from the inside out. That's why Paul in Ephesians 4 says, "You must not walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They're callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." But that's not the way you learn Christ. No, what you learn from Christ is that Christ died for you, and that you died with Him, and that you've been raised with Him, that you're to put off the old way because you're no longer defined by the sin that entangles your life. But now you've been made new in Christ, and you are a new person, so now you can begin to live a new life. It won't be perfect, but you can begin to live a new life.
Because the truth of God is that Jesus has died for sinners. The Holy Spirit has come and changed your heart. And now you can begin to really live. But you need to look for it. You need to believe it. God has a plan for your life. And the plan is that you begin to live it now. You begin to seek it out now. It transforms your life when you embrace it. And it protects your life from destruction from the world around you. Notice what he says in verse 11. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. There are people who are deliberately set against God and His ways. Their intent is evil. And there is an attraction still in our hearts as sinners for the ways of evil, for independence from God, for thinking we can do it on our own. Pride puffs up. And there's something appealing of the sense of power to do whatever we want, whenever we want. And it's tempting. But God's wisdom protects you from that. As the Word of God is written on our hearts, as we seek out God in His Word and we commit it to memory, as we know the God who created and made us by walking with Him, however feebly, we learn of Him. We know what He's like. And we become sensitive to what He likes and what He doesn't like. And it's no longer quite so important that we get our own way. But now, as He begins to work within us, we begin to desire to want to please Him and not ourselves. And in that way, God protects us from those who would drag us into evil. But it's not just the evil out there that needs to concern us. It's the evil in here that still remains. For notice, he goes on in verse 16, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Yes, the adulterous woman is out there, but what is she appealing to? She is appealing to the sinful desires of our hearts. That's what she's appealing to, those smooth words. You see, wanting to do what we want to do, wanting to follow our own desires, however twisted they may be by sin. It's not just the evil out there, those that are trying to drag us down, but it's the desire from within that we want to do what's wrong. That there is that appeal for us. We need help. The heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says. Who can understand it? We need help. And it says, as God takes out the heart of the stone and gives us a living heart of flesh, as the Holy Spirit comes and washes and cleanses us and gives us the desire for God, and as we act on that new desire to seek the Lord and find Him, we are now protected from our own selfish desires. Not perfectly again. But there is a protection there when we seek God's wisdom. If you seek me, you will surely find me, says the Lord. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. There is protection for those who seek the wisdom of God. Wisdom is there for those who seek it. It engages you with God, who is the source of all wisdom. It transforms your life when you embrace
the wisdom of God. It protects your life from destruction, and it establishes our lives in the blessedness of God. Notice in verse 20, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Every one of these stanzas is hinging back on the appeal to, if you look for it, if you search it out, if you seek it, if you find it, then. And the crowning thing is that you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land and those with integrity remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. The focus on the land here is going back to the promise to Abraham that he will give him a land, he will give him a place. And it's echoing Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the land where God was. And the promised land became the symbol of the place where God would dwell forever with His people. It became the picture of the heaven that was yet to come when we would be fully restored with the God who made us and created us to live in fellowship with Him as a reflection of His glory. And the promises to those who pursue the wisdom of God, that those who seek God will find Him, and not only will they find Him, but that they will be blessed in the enjoying of God in His presence forever. The upright will inhabit the land. They're called the upright because the wisdom of God changes those who receive it. Again, it has to be received. It's not that we find it on our own, but in receiving it, we find it. We work out what God is already working within. What happens is like Peter. We get distracted by the storms all around us. And suddenly we take our eyes off of Jesus walking on the water. And we see the waves blowing. We feel the spray. We forget who we are and what we are. And we get overwhelmed by the confusion and the violence all around us. Because we've looked away from Christ. We've turned away from Him who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. That doesn't mean we're going to know how to act in every situation in life. It doesn't mean there will never be difficult questions that we face. But what we need to remember is that there are answers even if we don't have them now. And those answers are bound up in the very character and being of God who made us. Not only the God who made us, but the God who sent His Son to redeem us. And the more we walk with God, the more we will know what God would have us do. Just as those of you that are married, the longer you're married to your spouse, the more you can almost predict what they're thinking or what they're going to say or what they're going to do. Because you've walked with them for a long time and you've come to know one another. And it's that way with God. The more we walk with God, the more we are attuned to His ways. And so we ought to seek His ways and seek His wisdom that we might know how He would have us respond in the face of a world that is utterly out of control. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus has come to give us a fullness of life? That He wants us to discover who we really are and what God made us to be like and how we can serve Him? Jesus said, if you listen to my words, you are like the man who built his house on the rock, and though the storms came, it stood firm. But if you ignore His words and don't pay attention, it's like building your life on sand and the winds come and the waves attack it and the foundation isn't there and it all collapses. The winds might be getting a little heavier now. The storm clouds are a little darker. Issues are arising that seem more complicated and conflicted. But God is the same. God has not changed. And His ways have not changed. We may have to work a little harder at sorting out how to best respond to some of the issues that are facing us. But there is wisdom there. There is wisdom for God's people. There is wisdom for you. God sent His own Son to you, Jesus, who is the very wisdom of God. It is in Him that we have our hope. And it is as we look to Him and come to know Him better, as we understand why He came and what He did when He came and how He continues to act on our behalf and how the Spirit has changed our lives and what God is doing through His means of grace and through His people. This is not something we're meant to face alone. Notice at the end, the upright will inhabit the land. We will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. It's not just that we're by ourselves, but we are with God's people. And so, as God's people, we encourage one another in living in this world. And so may we, dear friends, not be distracted by the confusion. Not be dumbfounded by the hard questions. But let us go back to seeking the Lord. Let us call out for insight. Let us raise our voices. Lord, hear us. We need wisdom. We need understanding. Let's look for it as though it were the treasure above all treasures. Let us do all we can to possess it. Because it is worth possessing. And because God has said we will possess it if we truly seek it. He has given us His Son. And with Him, He has given us all we need to live in this life. In this world in which we live now. May we seek Him. And may we find Him. And in finding Him, may we enjoy Him, and may we love Him, and may we serve Him, and may we find our way forward beyond even our own understanding, because we have put our trust in the Lord who loved us to send His wisdom in the person of His Son, so that we might not just have knowledge about God, but that we might have life that is truly life. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want that life. We want to live with You. We want to dwell with You in Your presence, to know Your favor, to have Your mind, Your understanding. Lord, our world is confusing. Our world is troubling. But we are most of the trouble because we forget to look to You. We try to work it out on our own when You've given us what we need. Thank You, Lord, that You care for us. Thank You that You provided the way before we even knew we needed help. Keep us in Your Word. May Your Spirit continually draw us more tightly to Yourself, that our souls would be satisfied in Christ, and that we might have courage to face this confusing world, not because we have all the answers, but because we know You, who has every answer and who delights to give wisdom
to those who ask. And so we ask you for it now, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.
Our hymn of commitment this morning, number 149, Teach Me, O Lord, the Way of Truth. Teach me, O Lord, the way.